Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the Political Cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells swing and jingle bells ring. Snowing and blowing up bushels of fun. Now the jingle hop has begun. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bell time and jingle bell time. Dancing and prancing in Jingle Bell Square. In the frosty air, what a bright time. It's the right time to rock the night away.
All right, everybody, welcome Jingle back to the Political Cesspool Radio Program. Saturday evening, December 15th. Keith, we are so close to Christmas, I can taste it. And now if it would just dip below about 80 degrees during the day outside here in Memphis, it'd feel a little bit more like Christmas. But anyway, welcome back to the show, everybody. James Edwards and Keith Alexander here with you in the Political Cesspool this evening. AM 1380 WLRM Radio, that's where we are. Where are you? Maybe you're listening on one of the AM/FM affiliate stations that carries our fine program over the Liberty News Radio Network. Or maybe online, one of our international a member of the international audience tuning in at thepoliticalcesspool.org. No matter how you're listening, we're glad to have you. Keith, Dick Morris asked what to us would be a rhetorical question. He didn't figure it out. You know, we talked about it for a year, and he points out the painfully obvious, whites stayed at home and reelected Obama. So says Dick Morris, the frequent Fox News contributor, former Clinton insider. Here's what he writes on his website, dickmorris.com. Now that all the data is in, the fundamental reason for Romney's defeat is apparent, if largely unreported. It's not just that blacks, Latinos, and single women showed up in record numbers at the polls. It's that whites didn't, Morris writes. The final numbers suggest that 91.6 million votes were cast by whites, 7 million less than the 98.6 million that were cast by whites in 2008. Meanwhile, the number of blacks, Latinos, and women who voted for Obama went up in 2012 from 2008, but Dick Morris comes full circle in his article and concludes with the fact that Romney lost because whites stayed home, particularly among the elderly. The voter turnout was disappointing, with seniors casting only 16% of the vote, senior citizens, which has been much less than had been anticipated. Whites didn't vote. Why didn't they vote, and why didn't we all spot it sooner? Morris asks. So, you know, Keith, we were talking about this for a year in advance of the election, assuming that Romney would win the nomination. And of course, it certainly wasn't certain a year ago, but assuming that he would. But particularly during the last couple of weeks before the election, we really had blowouts on why Romney was going to lose and why he was not energizing his base. We can answer that question for Dick Morris very easily when he asked, why didn't whites vote? Why didn't we spot it sooner? If Morris had been listening to the Political Cesspool in the weeks leading up to the election, he would have known all about it. We talked about it till we were blue in the face, but Keith, I'll let you answer the question. You know, it goes to show that if, and basically Morris is admitting this in a roundabout way, if Romney had secured more of the white vote, as we were saying, all alone, he would have walked right into the White House.
Well, the reason he didn't win is because he was an uninspiring candidate for the conservative white base of the Republican Party. You know, I am absolutely amazed when I listen to these so-called talking heads, to the Karl Roves, to the Bill Kristols of America, that somehow get access to the airwaves in blue state America. And that's why they get access to the airwaves, because blue state Americans and liberals are running those airwaves, and they determine who has access and who doesn't. They're not about to let me or James get on there and give our take on the election. They're going to let some people that are basically 3 or 4 degrees to the right of Vladimir Lenin be the spokespeople for conservatism. Now, this gets right back down to that red state, blue state paradigm again. If you'll look over the past 20 years, every Republican presidential candidate that has failed to win the presidency, George H.W. Bush in 92, Bob Viagra Dole in 1996, John McCain in 2008, and now finally Mitt Romney in 2012, all of them were Casper Milquetoast liberalism-light candidates. None of these guys represented a muscular, pro-white candidate or were really conservative in any meaningful sense of the term. And as a result, white people didn't come out to vote. White people voted 59% for the Republican candidate. Black people voted 95% for the black candidate. Hispanics voted 72% for the non-white candidate. Asians voted 73% for the non-white candidate. Jews voted 70% plus for the non-white candidate. But whites are the largest demographic category in the electorate. Believe me, the Republicans have a winning hand. The Republicans don't win because they continue to put liberals out in the front of their party, people that the American white majority realize will not vote and will not govern in the interests of the white people. On the other hand, Jamie Foxx is totally satisfied with Barack Obama. All these non-whites, my son who came back from Costa Rica told me that non-whites throughout Central America were jubilant that Obama, the non-white candidate, won. Nothing else matters to them. We need to recognize this about our foes, and we need to match their sense of racial solidarity. But as long as blue state America is in charge of both political parties, we will get unappealing candidates time and time again. That's another great argument for secession, because we're going to be commissared by blue state America, just as culturally we have to listen to David Letterman and Saturday Night Live put us down. Politically, we have to listen to John McCain and Mitt Romney put us down.
Again, just almost comical, Dick Morris admitting that Romney lost because he didn't secure enough of the white vote, that 7 million less whites voted for Romney this time than they did McCain in 08. So he's admitting what we've been saying all along, that he lost because he didn't go fishing, he didn't go hunting where the ducks are. We've talked about that for years. The sure pathway to victory is to secure more of the vote from the people who might actually consider voting for you. So Morris says, you know, why didn't the whites vote? If they'd have come out, we could have won. But his prescription for future Republican electoral success, like that of Krauthammer and Crystal and all the rest, is more pandering to minorities. I mean, that's what got him in the problem in the first place. It's sick that there's not people with common sense advising the GOP or making these points that we make on the radio on national television. We've got to take a break, folks. We'll be back with more right after this.
Right after these messages.
Are you looking for an affordable way to earn your bachelor's degree? Do you want a college experience that's more personal? Then discover your future at America's Transfer College. Students across the U.S. are choosing Ivy Bridge College as a better, smarter way to earn their degree. Thanks to Ivy Bridge's unique program, starting at a two-year college and transferring to finish your degree has never been easier. The program is simple. Start with Ivy Bridge College and take your first 2 years of college online. Transfer to one of over 140 of Ivy Bridge's partner schools and take your upper division courses. Then graduate with your bachelor's degree from the school of your choice. Personal attention, small class sizes, affordable tuition, and a clear pathway to graduation. Start your academic journey and contact us to learn more about Ivy Bridge College today. Call 877-622-2059 or visit americastransfercollege.com to find out more.
The government has spent $1 billion to try to prove that cholesterol causes heart disease. They have failed miserably. Hey, it's Patricia Aiken from CardioPrim. Reverse the real cause of blocked arteries with CardioPrim Professional Strength Oral Chelation. You can have normal blood pressure and more energy in about a month naturally without drugs. We never get tired of hearing from people that take CardioPrim for their blood pressure and then find their blood sugar is normal as well, or can't find their arthritis pain or bone spur, or they don't need their Viagra and can sleep without getting up 3 or 4 times a night. CardioPrim is safe, effective, affordable, and it's guaranteed. Feel 20 years younger. We've arranged a special offer for Friends of Liberty Roundtable. Go to CardioPrim.com and use LRT for login and password. Or call us at 702-449-0044. 702-449-0044. CardioPrim.com.
If you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rain fly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our 0-degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
When the truth is found to be... Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
I don't want a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree. I just want you for my own, more than you could ever know. Make my wish come true.
Everybody, welcome back to the show. Keith Alexander to my left, only as we sit here, not literally at all. It'd be hard for anybody to be to my right, but if there is one guy who might be here in this room this evening, Keith Alexander. I don't know about the right and left thing. I mean, it's pretty much common sense that we espouse and advocate for here on the cesspool, and I guess it's a right-wing notion in today's political climate, but truth-telling, I guess, is a right-wing thing now. All right, story out of Columbus, Ohio, Keith. This can be filed in the evidence backing up our claim that you can't have a first-world nation with a third-world population. Police were sent, dispatched to quell civil unrest over Section 8 housing in Ohio. Basically, what you had there were a lot of recent immigrants from Somalia, of all places. They were there in Columbus, Ohio's Somalian immigrants. And the city government there was having a giveaway. They were giving out vouchers or coupons for Section 8 housing. And so just hundreds of people lined up for these vouchers that would allow their rent to be subsidized. Keep in mind, and we have a video clip of the news footage of this story at thepoliticalcesspool.org. And as you will see, everybody in that crowd looks very healthy. All right, they're not disabled. You know, certainly if they wanted a job, they could get it the way everything is skewed towards them. They're not starving. You know, so why do they get their rent subsidized by the taxpayer? That's the first question. You know, we're always told, Keith, how obviously racist America is, how white Americans are some of the most evil creatures God ever created, and how horrible it is for minorities here in America. Yet these people from Somalia certainly made the decision to come here on their own. If it's so bad here, you know, how about they go back over there? You know, if it is so truly racist here, and of course it has nothing to do with racism. What it's all about is they know the more they scream it, the more free goodies and handouts they're going to get, the more they're going to be spoiled. But anyway, you got all these people standing in line to get free rent, and they ran out of the coupons apparently, and that didn't go over too well, and so police were forced to subdue hundreds after the tempers started flaring, and I think they used maybe tear gas or mace. It's all there in the story, but you can see these folks, again, all healthy, able-bodied, certainly able to get a job if they were so inclined. Not one white person in the crowd that I saw out of the news footage was standing in line to get that free rent, Keith. Again, they knew about it. They knew how to get it. There just wasn't enough of it, and I'm sure that is racist.
Well, just think about what would happen to these people if they demonstrated in their homeland, Somalia, which is in Africa, by the way, about the government's relative stinginess in giving them benefits. They would probably have the army pull out the guns and start firing on them. Only in Western white nations does this type of counterintuitive behavior engender a counterintuitive response, so that by complaining about the government, complaining that the government isn't generous enough, when quite frankly the government doesn't owe you a roof over your head or a meal, that when you ask the government or you demonstrate or you show yourself to be an ingrate in America, it results in the flow of more and more goodies to you. This is crazy. This is what America, and this is what Western Europe, this is what Australia have come to now. We now, it's like suspending the law of gravity. And these people, these third world immigrants, know they can come to America. I read something the other day which was really astounding. 57% of illegal immigrants that come to America from Mexico are on public assistance of some sort, some type of welfare. Now, you know, forget all about this propaganda you hear that people are coming here just because they want to work. They may come initially because they want to work, but after they get here, they're soon persuaded by the NAACP, by La Raza, by the ACLU, by ACORN, or whatever ACORN has morphed into in the last year or so, into milking the system and bringing down America. This is what the left, this is what the Democratic Party in particular is, you know, for, is trying to accomplish. They are going to bring us down. It's called the Cloward-Piven strategy. It worked in New York City in the late 70s. It almost brought down New York City, put them into bankruptcy. We now have bankrupt cities like Birmingham, Alabama. We also have a state that is on the verge of bankruptcy, California, because the left is intentionally whipping up this furor to ask for more and more benefits. In fact, another thing that I read on the Cesspool blog recently was that people, you know, that are on welfare make more money than the median U.S. income. It's like $168 a day is the average for people on welfare, and that is more than the average median income in the United States. This is insane.
It is, and I've used the spoiled child analogy, but certainly it seems as though, and obviously, and it again goes without saying that not all blacks and non-whites go for this behavior, this type of behavior, and certainly there are some white deadbeats that are just as bad and contemptible. But it seems as though the more you give them, the more offended and put out they are, the more racist society is against them. There are hundreds of stories, literally hundreds of stories every day that you'll read that blame white racism for some sort of a problem. The only stories about racism that you won't find are stories about people like Jamie Foxx being accused of it. You know, most normally stories that actually do have a racial animus, you're not going to read about. You're not going to read about the absurdity of that organization in France complaining about a white woman being named as the winner. Jamie Foxx, you won't read about that being racist. Stories like this always have something to do with racism. And this, the bigger problem is just this subsidizing of that lifestyle anyway. Why are they getting free apartment rent? What do they do to deserve that? I mean, why can't we get that? Not that I would want it. I like working for my living and providing for my family. It's an honor. But this is sick to reward the non-producers. We've got to take a break. We'll be back.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, The Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
Did you know that doctors are the leading cause of death? Heart disease is number two. But you don't have to be a victim. Hey, it's Patricia Aiken from CardioPrim. Start reversing the real cause of blocked arteries with CardioPrim Professional Strength Oral Chelation. You can have normal blood pressure and more energy in about a month, naturally, without drugs. It's always a thrill to hear from folks that take CardioPrim for their blood pressure and then can't find their arthritis pain, or find they have normal blood sugar in addition to normal blood pressure, or they don't need their Viagra. It's safe, it's effective, it's affordable, and it's guaranteed. Feel 20 years younger. We've arranged a special offer for Political Cesspool listeners. Go to cardioprim.com and use TPC for login and password, or call us at 702-449-0044. 702-449-0044. cardioprim.com.
get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
Sleigh bells ring, are you listening in the lane? Snow is glistening, a beautiful sight, we're happy tonight.
Walking in a winter wonderland,
gone away, is the bluebird.
Wonderland. Keith, you know, next week is our last show before Christmas. We're going to have to come in wearing some Santa Claus hats and, you know, maybe send a picture out of that or something. Here. What do you think? That's something you, all right, you'll do it. All right, we'll get real festive next week. We'll be the 22nd, just a couple of days before Christmas Eve and then Christmas Day. So it's going to be a fun and festive show next week. We'll make sure of that. Back to the news desk, though. And this is really a sad story, you know. There's nothing funny about what I'm about to tell you. I take, and it goes without saying, no satisfaction from reading this to you. You know, illiteracy doesn't help any of us. You know, it doesn't matter if it's black illiteracy or white illiteracy. It doesn't help us as a society to have low-functioning students and young adults. But 7% of the eighth graders and the Detroit public school system, Keith, are proficient in reading. 7%. That means 93% of public school eighth graders in Detroit are not proficient in reading. They do not read at grade level. 93%. And I would imagine that a very significant portion of that 93% are, in fact, illiterate completely. 7% proficient in reading. They are much worse at math, if you can believe it. Here's the story. In the public schools in Detroit, Michigan, according to the United States Department of Education, only 7% of the eighth graders are grade level proficient or better in reading. Some public school teachers in the city of Detroit and around the state of Michigan are reportedly taking a vacation or sick day to protest right-to-work legislation likely to be approved by the state legislature. Under current law, Michigan public school teachers must pay dues to the teachers union. If the right to work law is enacted, Michigan public school teachers will be free to join the union and pay dues if they wish. They will also be free to not join the union and not to pay dues. Detroit public school eighth graders do even worse in math than they do in reading, according to the Department of Education. While only 7% scored highly enough on the department's National Assessment of Educational Progress test in 2011 to be rated proficient or better in reading, only 4% scored highly enough to be rated proficient or better in math. Statewide in Michigan, only 32% of public school eighth graders scored a grade level proficient or better in reading, and only 31% scored grade level or proficient in math. That's statewide in Michigan, and of course in Detroit, it's 7% and 4% respectively when talking about reading and math. So Keith, you know, first of all, I read somewhere that, and you know, public school is run off the taxpayers' dime, just like just about everything else. They spend $12,000 a year, I read, to educate these public schoolers in Detroit. Now, compare and contrast that with the fact that here in Memphis, if you went to one of the absolute most elite private Christian schools, you'd be paying around $10,000, in some cases a little more, $10,000 maybe the median, to go to a very fine private school here in the Memphis area. But in Detroit, they're spending more than that, and these are the results. And what they'll tell you is, you know, if we could just throw a little more taxpayer money at this problem, you know, this academic achievement gap would vanish. But Keith, when I read this story to you, and again, it's very sad. It's horrible. And I don't want to see this for anyone. But what do you make of it? What's your take?
Well, what I make of it is I would really like to know what the figures were for the Detroit public school system in 1954. The year before, or the year of, the Brown decision. Racial integration, it's time to tell the emperor that he has no clothes. Racial integration of public schools in America has been disaster to American education. I can just about guarantee you that the figures would be reversed for 1953, for example. They probably only had 7% of the student body that was not proficient at grade level for reading, or maybe 4% or 7% that weren't proficient in math back then. We've had a complete turnaround, and they spent so little money on a per pupil basis in 1954 or 1953 as compared with today. Don't tell me that it's a lack of money. Basically, the more we pay, the worse the result is. And now we have a Republican supermajority in Tennessee's legislature, and they are proposing a voucher system to allow black inner city kids to attend private schools. The way I read that is they're not satisfied with having destroyed the public education system in America. Now they are intent upon destroying the private education system as well. You know, somebody needs to tell the emperor he has no clothes. All these liberal nostrums do not work. They're counterproductive. And America is never going to be able to compete with the rest of the world on a free trade basis or on any other basis until liberals give up the driver's seat in our society and let conservatives run America according to true conservative principles. And you will not find true conservative principles animating the Republican Party. So I hand it back to you, my friend.
Well, Keith, I can guarantee you that the discipline in these schools is absolutely horrific. You know, we were talking a story here in Memphis last week here on the show where two mentally handicapped, you know, they were mentally handicapped, yet they were going to a public school, you know, and then they were, it was these two guys that were raping this kid in the bathroom there at the public school. And I bet that's par for the course up there in some of these Detroit schools. And, you know, this is a real cause for action for black advocacy groups. You know, again, I don't want to see any kids struggle in school, black or white. And I wish these kids were able to read well. I wish they were able to focus on their studies and go out and be productive members of society after graduation. But, you know, instead of complaining about Miss France being white, instead of complaining about all the specters of racism that don't truly exist, they exist only in their minds, if even there. And I think, honestly, that a lot of the things that they complain about with regards to racism, they're simply doing because they know it's kind of like an extortion racket. They'll just get more stuff. They'll be pandered to more. They'll be catered to more if they complain more. They'll get more money. You know, but this truly is an issue because if it's a Detroit city school, it's going to be an all-black school. And let's just, you know, that's a fact. 87% of the population of the city of Detroit is black. So this is going to be, these are going to be black public schools. This is where Al Sharpton needs to be. This is where Jesse Jackson needs to be. This is where I would be if I was one of them. I mean, this is a real problem. Instead of fantasizing about racism that doesn't exist, instead of calling good and decent members of the community like me and Keith racist because we point out double standards and hypocrisy, they need to go in there. If Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton were really concerned about black people, they would have their organizations going into these schools and getting these kids in line and making sure they're passing tests. This is something that would be a worthy cause for the organizations that claim to be putting the interests of blacks first and advancing their lot in life. But where are they, Keith? I guess there's no money to be made there, right?
Well, there's no money to be made because these schools are already being run by black people in Detroit, and they don't want to criticize their own kind because they have a strong sense of racial solidarity. But the sad fact of the matter is that these schools are at least in large part dysfunctional because specifically they are ruled by blacks, and they are accommodating, and their student body is overwhelmingly black. People don't want to learn the hard lesson of the book, The Bell Curve. The average median black IQ in America is 85. The average median white IQ is 100. That's 15-point differential, and it has existed ever since IQ started to be measured in America back in the 1920s. It's intractable. It is genetic. It's not cultural. And they're going to have to face up to the fact that when they continue to divert goodies into a school system that is run by black people for black people, they're going to have these horrendous results. They basically need to get these schools run by whoever can run them and get the best result for their own children.
All right, we're going to take a break, folks, and we'll be back with more right after this. I promise you that.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We'll return.
Long-range patrol ration entrees. If you know survival, you know LRPs are the undisputed king of military rations. Hands down, the best for your bug-out bag or survival pack. To go farther, faster, and carry more food, there's nothing better than a brick pack LRP cold weather ration entree. Nothing. Now, the freeze-dry guy is offering a limited-time deal on thousands of fresh LRP entrees. We're talking a menu of tasty and nutritious beef stew, chicken and rice, chili mac with beef, spaghetti and meat sauce with 20 entrees per case. These fresh 2011 LRPs are U.S. government contract overruns, perfect for long-term storage. But they're going fast at freezedryguy.com. Far superior to MREs, long-range patrol entrees are about a third the weight of an MRE, with about a third more meat than the finest commercial freeze-dried entrees. Ask about multi-case discounts and free shipping when you call 866-404-3663 today. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com, your source for survival food in an uncertain world.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211 or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance, available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you will ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
I'll have a blue Christmas without you. I'll be so decorations of red on a green Christmas tree won't be the same, dear, if you're not here with me.
All right, there's Elvis Presley Key with his version of Blue Christmas, which I believe you requested from the DJ there at our studios in Utah, the network studios. And they so graciously put it into the mix tonight. And we would have a Blue Christmas if it were not for those of you, our dear friends and loyal listeners out there in the audience. And we've been getting Christmas cards from a lot of folks the last couple of weeks. And it just brightens my day when they bring in the mail and we have some well wishes and some festive cards. We love y'all very much and we respect you and we appreciate you. And we say it a lot, but we cannot say it enough. And to have your support, your prayers, and all of that reciprocated is truly moving, and it serves as the wind in our sails. And so thank you so much for those of you who have sent in Christmas cards, and perhaps those of you who will between now and the big day on December the 25th. And we're going to have a very fun and special show next week, our last before Christmas. But before then, still much more forthcoming tonight. Don't forget, during the third and final hour, Sam Bushman, owner of Liberty News Radio Network and host of Liberty Roundtable, will be joining us to talk about the tragic shootings in Connecticut. And, you know, you hate to politicize an issue like that, but certainly the left is not going to let it pass without taking full advantage of it. And the attack on the Second Amendment will begin anew with this, I can guarantee you that. But that's all coming up in the third hour. Keith, we were talking about the public school system in Detroit before the break, and I know when you and I were having lunch yesterday, you had something that was closely related to that that you'd like to discuss and share with the audience.
Well, we were talking about the new Fisher versus University of Texas case that was heard by the Supreme Court back in October and is coming up for a decision probably sometime early in the new year. And we were discussing that, and we were discussing the fact that most people really don't understand what is at stake there. Let's put these words out into the public domain now and consider them. Disparate impact. Disparate impact is the new preferred leftist interpretation of the 14th Amendment and the Civil Rights Act of 1964. What do they mean by disparate impact? Well, let me read you an article from the Memphis Commercial Appeal, November 4th, 2012, Sunday business section, that will give you an insight. Here is the article. It's on the first page. EEOC warns of crime checks. The Equal Employment Opportunity Commission has sent a warning to businesses. Conduct criminal background checks at your own risk. Companies that ask job applicants if they've been convicted of a felony or check criminal histories expose themselves to discrimination lawsuits. I would suggest to businesses that they think long and hard about why they think they need to do a criminal background check, said John Hendrickson, the regional attorney for the EEOC's Chicago District. The EEOC, in April, issued enforcement guidelines on the matter that is expected to hold significant sway in court. The commission stated that people cannot be denied employment based solely on criminal histories, but stopped short of banning the use of criminal background checks. To avoid missteps, the EEOC suggests that companies consider three things. One, how long ago the crime was committed. Two, the nature of the crime and how the crime might relate to the job. And three, the agency also said companies should give ex-offenders a chance during job interviews to explain conviction circumstances as well as rehabilitation efforts. Employers should record and document the justification for their employment decisions when they are making the decision with someone with a criminal history, said Jeff Nowak, labor and employment attorney. Sometimes there are good business reasons not to hire people with certain criminal records. For example, if a job applicant is a convicted embezzler, the company would have a strong case not to hire that person in a financial capacity. But the, let me change, turn the page on the newspaper here. But the person might be qualified to hold jobs that don't deal with money. Even before the guidance was issued, or the guidelines were issued, companies were put on notice that they could be vulnerable to paying damages to people for asking their criminal history background against, holding their criminal history background against them. In January, Pepsi was ordered in a court case to pay $3.13 million to black applicants who had been denied work because of past arrests or minor convictions. As a result, Pepsi revamped its hiring guidelines. A 2007 court case triggered the EEOC to look at the issue. In the case, Douglas L. said he was unjustly fired when his employer learned of a 40-year-old second-degree murder conviction. While an appeals court upheld his dismissal, the court asked the EEOC to provide a legal analysis and updated research on the impact of using criminal records in hiring. The EEOC found that significantly more African-American and Hispanic people, especially men, are incarcerated, so they are disproportionately affected when companies don't hire ex-offenders. So far, more businesses are opting not to conduct criminal background checks, with 14% of businesses reporting this year that they don't do them, a 7% increase from 2010, according to the Society of Human Resource Management. In 2012, 69% of businesses used criminal background checks for every position, while the rest only used the checks for some positions. Okay, now that's the entire article. What are they talking about here? They're talking about disparate impact. It does not matter that checking for a criminal history is not overtly directed at any race. You know, all sorts of people can have criminal histories, but because statistically more black and more Hispanic men have them than Asian or white or Jewish men, for example, they're going to hold this to be invidious discrimination that violates the 1964 Civil Rights Act and the 14th Amendment if you use them. Why? Because more black people tend to have, and more Hispanic people tend to have, criminal records. So consequently, you can't use that information. Now, this is unfortunately the tack that Eric Holder, the present Attorney General of the United States, wants to follow in prosecuting all alleged violations of the 1964 Civil Rights Act and the 14th Amendment, Due Process and Equal Protection Clauses. This is going to be focused upon specifically in the decision that comes down in Fisher versus the University of Texas. Now, what this is basically they're confronting the fact that trying to prove racial discrimination is difficult if you want to make widespread changes because, quite frankly, there is not a lot of racial discrimination emanating from white-owned businesses and government agencies to keep black people out. In fact, just the opposite is happening in today's world. Black people are the beneficiaries of racial discrimination rather than the victims. White people are today the victims of racial discrimination, not the beneficiaries. But for some strange reason, the black leadership and the elites, the white elites in America, Europe, Australia, places like this, all seem to think that we're frozen in 1950 and that black people are the victims of racial discrimination. Now, we'll get back into this topic in more depth regarding the Fisher decision after this word from our sponsors.
Believe it or not, there's a third hour of tonight's installment of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
They call the ride.